Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcasts12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcasts12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcasts12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam.
And we are here as sort of a continuation of last week's episode where we talked about friendship and flakiness, but we wanted to broaden it and talk about this trend that we've been noticing online of this idea that we don't owe anyone anything.
Yeah, this idea that you and your perception are the only perception that matters in a situation. Meaning, yes, if you decide that there is something that might put you out, might make you feel uncomfortable, might make you do something you don't want to do, there is an immediate resistance, put it up, boundaries, I don't owe you XYZ. Now, caveat I want to add is when you just hear that, I'm sure, yes, some of you are like, but there are unsafe situations.
Yes.
Absolutely. We are not talking about sexual assault. Yes. We are not talking about abuse. We are not talking about literal physical threats to your safety. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What we've been noticing here is this trend in how it applies to friendships, in how it applies to relationships, in how it applies to professional relationships, mm-hmm, right? These huge areas of our life. And oh, the fourth one would be family,
yeah,
right? Friendships, relationships, professional and family. There has become this perseveration on what is best for me. Mm-hmm. What do I need? Which I know, again, that sounds a little counterintuitive because I have content all the time that is telling you to think of what is best for you, yeah, and what you need. However, we are applying this in the sense of when other people seem to need something from you, mm-hmm, or are asking something of you or are engaging with you or are wanting you to do something. And it seems that there is a lot of resistance to any of those sorts of requests now. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Amanda. Do you feel like I summed it up?
Yeah, I think it's happened because, right, we've seen individualization getting even more intense over the, right, past few years. And I think that is right. And we're even more isolated because we're, you know, the studies are showing, and we're really excited. We have one of my friends, Lex, is going to come on. He is an urban planner in Philadelphia, and he's going to talk all about with us how actual physical spaces are impacting, you know, our relationships and loneliness, yeah, and things like that. So I think it's those two things. And I think it's also, you know, as we're recording this, like LA has been on fire for over a week.
Right.
It is one of the most devastating things I've ever seen.
Same.
It's horrible. And I think when we're constantly being exposed to one tragedy after another, which feels like it's been the case
for years.
Since, you know, COVID, maybe even you could argue before with, you know, someone getting elected. I think it's really – I think it makes people, rightly so, feel like I can't handle this and I can't worry about anyone else. I just am going to worry about myself. Mm-hmm. And I understand that impulse as a way to conserve energy, as a way to feel like – if you feel like the world is burning and isn't going to like survive, I get being like, I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. But the problem is this mentality over time, while short term, I think you may feel better, you may feel empowered. Mm-hmm. Over the long term, you are going to end up more isolated, like more disconnected from people, with less friends, with less people who love and care about you and can support you and be there for you. And I think it is this like short term satisfaction we're kind of trading and not thinking through how this is going to impact us in the future.
Well, and I think what you're touching on too is like this idea of I can't handle awareness of this one thing. Mm-hmm. So I can't have awareness of anything.
Yes. This overcorrect. Right?
Yeah. This total overcorrect. And I think with the LA fires in particular, I think what was really hard is the dismissal of empathy because it happened to be a higher income area, which is not necessarily true. Yes, there are some very wealthy people that live in that area, but the majority are not. And the majority are people that lost everything that they own and they have no resources to build that back. And that is devastating and that is horrible. And I understand that to have empathy about something like that feels like so much. You feel so useless and so helpless. Mm-hmm. And it's overwhelming. And it is meant to be. A disaster of that magnitude is meant to be overwhelming to the human senses because it is so big. Mm-hmm. And that is part of why disasters deserve this level of attention and effort, is because it is so catastrophic and so out of the norm.
Yeah.
However, I do see that because people are feeling so much tension on the macro level, and this isn't just the LA fires. This is with the political scene, global issues, war, rumors of wars, right? Yeah. Like if you are stressed about the macro, there has now been this crumbling of effort on the micro level.
Yes.
So because people are feeling so distracted by this over these overarching issues that feel so existential. I mean, oh, and climate change, that little tidbit.
Absolutely.
Right. There's now this like, we're snapping at people, we're ignoring people. We feel resentful when people ask things of us because it feels like we're operating from so little space. This is essentially what ghosting is, right? Like when you ghost someone, either like in dating or like even in a friendship, like a budding friendship, right? It's just kind of this like, I don't like this. This isn't working for me. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to be bothered with a conversation. I don't want to have to be bothered with explaining myself. I don't want to have to tell you because you should know.
Yeah.
You should already know why this isn't going to work. And if you don't, that's your problem. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or and, I think, right, like what you could say is a different word of breadcrumbing, right? All the words get so much, right? Is I think the other reason sometimes people ghost – I mean, dating, definitely. I think a lot of times it's, you know, I don't want to have this hard conversation with someone. Right. But I also think it's this like thing where you are like, I don't really know if I like you or not. You know, I don't even know if I want your friendship necessarily or not. So I'm not going to tell you I don't want to be friends with you or end the relationship. And I'm going to just kind of keep you around in case I like, in case I'm bored, in case I'm lonely, in case I do want to talk to you in the future. And I think it's really hard for people to then differentiate between, you know, I used to do so much work with this with clients when I worked at a rehab, and I did a lot of this work myself of, you know, don't believe everything you think. Don't assume that people don't want to talk to you. You're thinking about yourself way more than they're thinking about you, which is normally correct. But I think this like ghosting behavior throws into like throws a wrench in the idea that, you know, if people were upset with you, they would just tell you.
Right.
Because now they don't. And it's really hard, I think, to heal from people pleasing and believe that people want to be your friends when you go online now and you see people like openly talking about ghosting friends or dates or, you know, kind of making fun of people who put in effort and put themselves out there sometimes.
It's so – I think it is like discouraging too, and it feels like such a turnoff for effort. Because it's like I think what we're talking about too here is this like this self-fulfilling prophecy mm-hmm. of, well, someone ghosted me. So if I put an effort to this person that I don't really know yet, I'm not really comfortable with, they're probably going to ghost me too. So I'm just going to move on.
Yes.
And then the cycle just like repeats itself. And then you find somebody that you like and you want to put effort into, whether it's friendship, romantic, whatever, then they end up ghosting you. And then it's just right. Like,
yeah,
it's this cycle. And I think in the midst of all of it, there has to be like some level of accountability for all of us now that we actually do owe people things. Mm-hmm. We do owe people respect. We do owe people kindness. We do owe people effort. And that to give those things is not abandoning your values or saying that you don't have boundaries, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if something is not working, to communicate to that person that it's not working.
Yeah.
Just because that's going to be like a really uncomfortable, awkward moment. Mm-hmm. But then nobody's in the dark and everybody gets to move on and actually process the reality of something rather than sitting and stewing in their anxiety and their fear and the uncertainty and the narratives and da 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 da.
Yeah.
And I think even just like we're talking about the ghosting thing because I think it's like the most obvious
yeah.
form of disrespect nowadays. Mm-hmm. But also to go back to this idea of just effort. Like feeling, yeah. I think there's a lot of people right now that in certain situations are feeling like effort is even too much.
Yeah. I really think it's connected to just feeling like the world is on fire and like yeah. nothing matters anymore. Because even like in professional relationships, it feels like people don't care about burning bridges. They don't, they're just yeah. like, I'm going to get mine. And it feels like this like erosion of social contracts that's sort of happening. And don't get me wrong, some like social contracts need to be eroded.
Yeah,
change, we're not whatever. Saying that you should say yes to everything, go out of your way, stay in a bad situation, not do what you want to do. But I keep thinking about this term. When I was doing research for my book, Not Drinking Tonight, I talk a lot about evolutionary psychology. And mm-hmm. there is this fascinating term called reciprocal altruism.
Mm.
And essentially what it means is we were evolved to be like altruistic with each other if mm-hmm. we got things back for it. That's the reciprocity of it. And they've done studies where like some groups of people, yes, if you are just out to get yours, you can get ahead, right? In some situations, right. but not in other situations. So they like mm. kind of have done studies of when reciprocal altruism worked and how it essentially was became a dominant gene, essentially, and also a social contract in humanity. And it just makes me think about how like social contracts were violated, especially I think for younger people, right? They can't afford houses. They can't afford to do certain things that were promised to them mm-hmm. also, right? Yeah. That felt like was the work that they did and felt like this was the sacrifice they made. So it feels like that was broken. You know, jobs aren't able to create the security anymore and the benefits that they used to be able to. And it feels like we're just in all these broken systems and the only power people have is kind of just being like, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to take care of yeah. myself because nothing matters.
Yeah, this like radical selfishness.
Which I get. Like I feel very yeah. torn in it. I've been going yeah. back and forth in it. Like I get that. It just – what I think is the problem with it and why I am of the camp like you do owe people things mm-hmm. is like your mental health will suffer from that. It might feel good – in the short term, mm-hmm. but right? I think about even avoidance, like we've talked about a bunch, and avoidance makes your life smaller. It feels good in the moment to avoid things that are triggering to you. But if we can, you know, if we twist our life into being all about avoiding everything that makes us uncomfortable, we won't have a ton left.
It's so, I'm just like, I'm so deep. While you're, I know, like that's what's so hard is I'm having like 10 different like thoughts while you're speaking, because I think it's so interconnected and it's so linked. And it's the whole reason we're here in this podcast is to like sit and hold space for the complexity of this, of like, there are reasons to be upset right now.
Yeah.
Like there are reasons to be mad. And I think it, particularly for millennials and Gen Z, I think we have received a particularly aggressive short end of the stick. And it's so daunting to like look at it and feel like we have to overcome it, but then it feels like there are absolutely zero tools to like overcome it. So yeah, and then, you know, also I've even said this too, right? Like we're just on a floating rock. Nothing matters. And I think yes, like to a degree, but also I'm just like deeply opposed to the concept of nihilism.
Yeah.
It is so antithetical to me and who I am as a person.
Yeah.
I think it's just a useless form of belief. Like I think it just breeds depression and unhappiness and this idea that like nothing means anything and everything is just stupid and useless and there's no point to anything and everything is a moot point, whatever. To me, I just – if I like bring myself out of the macro and look at my own life, and the people in my life who I care about, who I love, who make me laugh, the little moments in the day when, you know, there's this little dog at my new apartment complex that I would die for. And like, it's the cutest thing I've ever seen. And we seem to have our like their morning walk with my gym walk like timed. And I love seeing that freaking dog. And like I smile at his owner and we'll sometimes chat for a second or then keep going. Like, I think, what point would I have to say, well, other people in the world are struggling and I've had my struggles in life. So this nice little moment that I have in the morning is useless because these bad things are happening.
Or I don't owe smiling.
Yes.
At my neighbor. Yeah. I get like that impulse because I can like feel sometimes like the world is too much and I get like introverted and I like don't want to say hello to people. But almost every time when I do, I feel better. I feel more connected to people. I feel more connected to where I live. It is like a kind moment that happens. And I think sometimes because we are so used to living all of our lives by ourselves, online, looking at a phone – like people used to do that because they couldn't look at a phone.
Yeah.
It was people – I keep thinking in this conversation about even when you were talking about friendships and how people are so like disregarded easily and people end their friendships I think sometimes too soon.
Yeah.
Again, guys, we're not saying stay in a friendship. That isn't good. But I think – and I think this is part of like swiping culture too, is you have so you have like unlimited options that it's like I'm going to find the perfect friend and anyone who doesn't do exactly what I want, I don't want to waste my time with. But it creates this like dehumanization where people used to be like best friends with their neighbors.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm not saying I would like that. Like, I think I would struggle with that. I really enjoy the choice of being able to, like, find people online and meet a variety of people.
Yeah.
But I think there's been, like, a little bit of an overcorrection of we can tolerate being friendly or friends with, you know, people in our lives who are closer in proximity. And especially if you're in closer proximity to someone – and you're going to see them all the time, it would probably actually – like maybe you don't owe them anything, but it would make your life better to like have a friendly relationship with them. Because if you need something, you know, being able to know that they can get your packet, their package for you, and you the same, like that's that reciprocal altruism that when both people act in that way, it makes our lives better. The problem is when some people don't act in that way, it creates this situation where other people feel like I'm doing more than other people are.
Yeah, this fear like I'm giving too much and now I'm being taken advantage of. And Well, no, I'm glad you touched base on the reciprocal altruism because I felt like I kind of like skated right past that. So I – because there's just – this is so – there's so much to say about this, I think. I find and I will like say this to my clients. Often the thing – that you think is going to put you out is your anxiety trying to talk you out of it. And it really – I think we've overblown effort. I think we've – like some of us have kind of talked up what some of this stuff really involves, right? Like – being available to help someone, offering to help someone, calling someone on the phone, setting up a FaceTime date, like texting to check in, following through on plans. Like I think it's become so daunting because with the pandemic, so many people were so isolated for so long. And we all kind of had to figure out how to operate independently for a while. That now like our reserves are just really low of like energy and availability. However, I had a conversation with a client the other day and I felt like it was a really big breakthrough, not only in our session, but I think it like shook me as well as we were talking about it, which is I think we're forgetting that energy is pulled from different places. Meaning, yes, you have 100% of energy. Like 100% to give, like that whole like give 120%, like that's not true. And your work energy is different from your friend energy. So those are coming from two different spaces within you, right? Work has different expectations from your friend time. And so I think sometimes when we've, if something is going on with your friends and you're hanging out on like a weeknight or they're like, come over on Friday night or come over on Saturday or whatever. And you're like, God, but I'm so tired from work. Just because you are tired from work doesn't mean you are going to be tired with your friends. And I think to remember that the discomfort that you're feeling now is not indicative that this is the same discomfort that you're going to have no matter what situation you're in, no matter what you're doing. Now, I think there's something to be said if your job is more physical or, you know, you work longer shifts. Like I remember at the hospital, I worked 12-hour shifts. And, you know,
if you haven't slept. We're not saying don't sleep.
But I'm saying like if you have kind of a more standard job and, you know, someone asks you to do something or go do literally anything. I would really suggest pushing yourself to go because we hype ourselves up a lot that something is going to be much harder than it actually is. And I cannot tell you how many times in my sessions we were prepping for some kind of a conversation or some type of event or something going on. And we work through all these different types of narratives. And I would literally say 80% of the time they will come back and say, that was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. Not always. There are sometimes I come back and they're like, that blew up in my face. And it's like, okay, like, well, let's talk about it. However, the majority of the time, it ends up being that the thing that you are afraid of was not as daunting as you thought it would be once you choose to actually face it and deal with it. And I think this idea of like, well, I don't owe them that. It's like, well, yeah, but what kind of person do you want to be though?
And are you living a life in alignment with your values?
Because
I am the biggest proponent that if you want confidence, if you want to feel good about yourself, you have to be in alignment with that. If you aren't a good friend, and you value friendship, that is a huge mismatch.
Something else that just needs to be said in general is the fact that January has been a lot. I think on the personal level and the global level, there's a lot going on. And for me, something that I found that's been really helpful after long days of being a content creator, being a content consumer, recording, working with my clients, all of that, it's been really helpful for me to make sure at the end of the day, my home, once I leave my office, has this deep sanctuary feeling vibe to it, that I can walk out of my office and I get to just lean into things that make my cup feel full, help me to feel relaxed and calm so I can keep showing up to do what I want to do and live my life the way I would like to. And one of the secrets that has been key to helping create that sanctuary vibe are my long sleeve bamboo pajamas from Cozy Earth. I am not lying to you when this is one of the softest things that has ever been on my body. They are made from viscose from the bamboo. It's really interesting, actually. And they are this soft stretch knit, and they have this insane breathability. And the way it lays on the body is something that I love. Sometimes I think when clothing is like moving around on your body, it can feel really uncomfortable. This is not that. I do not have that problem. It's so soft, and it's the most wonderful thing to lounge in before I go to bed. And it just helps set the right mood, and I feel so relaxed, and I am obsessed with them. So because I am obsessed with them, I am telling you to go to cozyearth.com and use my code NUANCE, that's NUANCE, for 40% off your entire order at checkout. Go to cozyearth.com and use code NUANCE for 40% off your entire order. And you can tell me you're welcome by saying that Nuance Needed sent you. A better year starts with better sleep. Wrap yourself in Cozy Earth, and I cannot wait to hear how much you love these.
Well, and like for me, I talk to people all day, mm-hmm. right? I've been talking for like 6 hours. And yet the conversations that I'm having with my clients are not the same as the conversations I'm having with my friends. Mm-hmm. They're different. They're with different topics, different types of energy, different things going on. And so like one of my closest friends right now, her grandpa just died, going through all these families, having all these different health issues. And I text her every day. I just mm-hmm. check in. How are you today? Like, I did the same thing with you. I text you. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, she's in, I saw her stories. How you doing, buddy? Like, and I think I used to, and this was something that happened when I was at the hospital where I fell into this trap. Mm-hmm. Like I had all of this resentment that I was giving so much of my emotional energy to these horrible situations, which we'll do a whole podcast on that. Don't you worry. But I felt like so fatigued and I was so resentful that I was giving like so much and I felt like I had nothing left. And what I realized was I was treating everything the same.
Yeah.
I was assuming that my friends were going to require of me the same level of energy that the family whose loved one just died was requiring from me. Yes. And that wasn't true. Those were two completely different scenarios. And it's the same thing, like your friend asking you to help move something heavy into their house is not the same as the work deadline that you're trying to like work on. And that was something that was really helpful for me when I finally left the hospital and had to do like a lot of like emotional healing work was like, oh, I don't have to be resentful at everything in my life. Like just because this job was really hard doesn't mean my family or my friends wanting to talk to me or do things with me or ask me of things meant they were taking advantage of me.
I think as women, sometimes it's hard because there is a lot of mental load.
Yes.
And it sometimes isn't about the time as much as it is about remembering something and balancing another thing in your head. So I get it, but I think it has to be – sometimes we do things that we don't want to do in that moment, but it's like a long-term investment. Like it takes a certain amount of hours. I forget the number off the top of my head to become a friend with someone. Like you literally need a certain amount of hours.
Yeah. Of engagement.
Time. Of engagement, of time together. Mm-hmm. And obviously that would make sense for, you know, a romantic relationship too. Yeah. So these things are investments that will give back to us and nourish us, but they do require effort. Sam, I was thinking also about dating. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, I had this thought that maybe also some of this like ghosting on like dating stuff is right. If we were talking about the social contract that was broken with people putting in effort, going to college, right, for example, mm-hmm. and being able to afford a house has been shattered.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about women and getting married. I mean, you know, men aren't getting married as much either, but even I know the research is out about how younger generations aren't even having sex as much.
Yeah.
And they're just like way more isolated in general. And I'm wondering too if that is extending into dating of like, I don't owe anyone anything because I've been on so many bad dates. Mm-hmm. No one's courteous to me. No one, you know, told me when they were ghosting me. So mm-hmm. I don't need to bother with doing that to them.
Well, I mean, like on a personal level, I've kind of done that myself.
Yeah.
Like in terms of I got sick of feeling not wanted a while ago and I just like whatever and lived my life and like just took care of me. And mm-hmm. now what I did on the other end was I actually invested in other areas of my life, right? I didn't just mm-hmm. like shut myself off. I've spent a lot of time investing in my friends and my career and my work and projects and all this sort of thing. And that, like, honestly, like, full disclosure, that avoidance is something I'm working on right now. Mm. Like, I understand that I've kind of – there's been a sacrifice to that decision. Mm-hmm. And what has been really hard is it's a very daunting thing to look at getting back into.
Yeah.
Because of the toxicity in this environment now and how it feels like you're never enough. Mm. Like you're just not enough. And they'll see you and you could have everything. You could be stable, driven, successful, like 5 out of 10 on a good day. And they're not interested.
Yeah.
And that's hard. And it's hard to like put yourself in that position where you're being graded. Mm-hmm. But then you know they can just like swipe and they're like, well, maybe the next one, maybe the next one, maybe the next one.
Yep.
And like I'm sharing this for anybody who – because I don't think – for me right now it's dating. I get that. But I think for a lot of people, it could be they've held themselves back in their career. Mm-hmm. They've held themselves back in friendships. They've held themselves back from family relationships and family events, right? Like I think a lot of us right now all have something that we are avoiding, something that we're afraid to step into and explore and lean into. And that's something that I'm really working on for me because I realize it's something that I want. And it's not fair of me to say, to paint this brush and say, well, everybody's like this.
Yeah.
Right? And to be like resentful of men doesn't help either. Mm-hmm. I'm angry. Trust me.
Yeah.
we could do like a multi-parter on that one. Yes. But I think to allow nuance into that. And if I'm wanting them to give me a chance, I have to be willing to give this other person a chance. Mm-hmm. And really what we're talking about there is this vulnerability.
Yeah.
Like it's vulnerable. And we're talking about exposing ourselves in new ways that we're not used to because I can go on this little device here. I'm holding up my phone. If you didn't hear me, just drop it. And like see people. Mm-hmm. I can do a live and have people join my live and it gives the illusion that we are quote unquote mm-hmm. together.
Yep.
But we're not.
Yeah.
And so like I think not only if we break this idea of down, like, yes, we owe people things. I firmly believe, regardless of what is going on in your life, it doesn't cost you anything to be kind. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cost you anything to be respectful of someone. It doesn't cost you anything to not take out your shit on someone else. Like, I firmly believe that it is possible to have that level of discipline with mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. And to not be treating waiters and hostesses and service people like garbage, to not be ignoring people, to not be avoiding people, right? Like, yeah. I think that bar is actually far lower in hell than we give it credit for, mm-hmm. like in what we can give people to be considered someone who is like respectful and kind and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think not only do we owe it to other people, we owe it to ourselves.
Yeah.
We owe this type of effort to ourselves so that we are building lives that feel meaningful and, like you said earlier, aligned with our values.
Yeah, I can't be convinced that it is not good for your mental health.
No.
To be kind to people, to be generous to people. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying bend over backwards. I'm not saying say mm-hmm. yes when you don't have mm-hmm. the capacity. Don't lie to other people or yourselves about it. And mm-hmm. it is tricky if you're a people pleaser. Like,
yeah.
you're going to have to figure out the middle ground
yeah.
for you. And you may have to, like, part of change sometimes is overcorrecting. Mm-hmm. And I wonder mm-hmm. sometimes if all these – I feel like the most common word we use on this podcast, besides nuance, is mm-hmm. overcorrect.
Yes. Yes.
And I wonder if it is because – society is changing a lot. Mm-hmm. And a lot really of times fast. When we change, we do have to overcorrect before we find the nuance and the middle again. Mm-hmm. And it's scary sometimes to find the middle and the nuance when we were so far on the other side because we feel like we're regressing sometimes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's my theory maybe on that. But yeah, I get it. I get not wanting to. And I think it goes back to also, right, like your initial urge, your initial thought, your initial feeling about doing something isn't always
– correct.
Yeah, it's not always the yeah. best one to follow. Yeah. A lot of times, guys, it's anxiety.
Yes. Yes. It is anxiety. And your brain is wanting to keep you safe because it's noting yes. that you're doing something that maybe it wasn't fun in the past mm-hmm. or something that feels new and scary or something that we've been putting off for a long time and we know mm-hmm. it might be a little difficult, right? Like your anxiety is designed to keep you safe.
Yeah. And it wants you to do as little as possible because your brain doesn't care whether you're happy or fulfilled or have a great life. Your brain is evolutionarily wired to be like, don't die. Don't die. Don't die. Don't die. Don't die. Don't die. Don't die.
Stay alive.
Yes.
And sometimes feelings feel like they will kill you.
Yeah.
But they will not.
Yeah. And doing something new feels that way sometimes yes. too.
Yes. I think the reason why, like, I've been harping on this, and I've even been, like, having conversations with my client about this, or clients. I don't just have one. I have many. But I really think we have to start taking individual accountability mm-hmm. if we want the world at large to get a little bit better.
Yeah.
Meaning it is not your job to fix global warming. It is not your job to figure out, if you live in the United States, how to fix the political issues we are currently facing. It is not your job to try to tackle homelessness, right? Like whatever mm-hmm. issue or all issues that are causing you distress and tension, it is not your job to fix those things. It is your job to nurture and tend to your life so that you are cared for, that the people in your life know that they matter, that they, while they go off and live their lives, they know you are a safe person for them to come back to. And I think that is where this whole, like, I don't owe people anything. I don't need to do anything that makes me feel uncomfortable. Sure, in certain situations, that is correct. And in most interactions, I'm going to call it, it's not. Mm-hmm. in most interactions, you are being incredibly selfish that you don't want to figure out how to maintain your friendships, mm-hmm. that you don't want to figure out how to offer someone that you love support, mm-hmm. that you spend more time sitting looking for ways to do the bare minimum rather than just showing up and letting them tell you what it is that they need. Mm-hmm. Like, there is an inherent selfishness there. Mm-hmm. And I know some of you listening to this are probably bristling at that. And that's okay. Like, mm-hmm. that is okay. I think we have overcorrected too far to this space of I get to just do me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, then I don't want to hear a single word out of your mouth that you are lonely or sad or feeling rejected because you have a say in this. Mm-hmm. Sure, you cannot control what other people do or how they respond to you. Fine. You have a say in how you live your life. Mm-hmm. You have a say in the values that you want to have and how you live out those values. You have free will in the worst ways and the best ways. Mm-hmm. And I think this is my call to action, that you have a lot more power than you give yourself credit for. And your capacity to do things is far greater than you are giving yourself credit for. And I'm really calling on you to step into that power a little bit and to stop letting these large amorphous issues dictate to your life. Scene.
Yeah. And I really have it that your life will be better.
Yeah.
I really have it that people are, and it's just one of my beliefs. It's not mm-hmm. the truth, mm-hmm. but I like to believe that people do care about other people.
Yep.
Innately. I think that similar to what you said, Sam, of like when you don't feel cared about, it's easy to not yeah. care about people as a response yeah. to yeah. that. And I think that is what is happening on like a collective scale. And what you said, like it doesn't actually get you where you want to go though. Like no. I get having that feeling. I get the impulse. I get the urge. We're not saying there's anything wrong with any of that. Mm-hmm. It's that long-term staying there mm-hmm. isn't going to get you where you want to go. And if we're looking mm-hmm. at ourselves as a culture, as like humanity, you know, saying – and I fall into this so much. I'm like – everything is so overwhelming. I can't mm-hmm. help. I can't make a difference. But it's like pick, you know, I love what Sharon McMahon yeah. says, right? If it's worth doing, it's worth doing for one person. We can't get bogged down by how overwhelming it is when we all do matter and we all have an important role to play.
Mm-hmm. The line that I like to live by personally mm-hmm. is yeah. – be the reason somebody believes in humanity.
I love that.
That's what I try to do. That's what I try to do for my friends when I meet people I don't know, when I post mm-hmm. something. There's a lot of really mean things I want to say sometimes. Like I'm not just like rah-rah all the time. I'm 50% French. I'm judgy as fuck. But like... I realize that when I do those things, I do not feel good after. Mm-hmm. I don't feel better when I rip someone to shreds. I don't feel better when I point the finger. I feel better when I've texted my friend who I haven't chatted to in a while. I feel better when I do something kind and fun for someone. I do something better when I'm in line at Starbucks and I will literally pay for the person behind me. Like that's something that I like to do. It's those types of things that are part of the social contract and this idea of the reciprocity that you were talking about earlier, right? Like we are designed to embrace opportunities to love. We are designed to embrace opportunities to nurture. We are designed for those things. And I would imagine if those things feel difficult, it's because someone betrayed you in those moments before. Mm. And it's okay to acknowledge that hurt. It's okay to acknowledge that betrayal. And you don't have to live the way your trauma informed you of. Mm-hmm. You get to change that. You get to do it differently in the way that you would like to.
I agree. Well, thank you all for listening to this philosophical episode. Yeah, I feel like we got really philosophical.
Yeah.
But this was a good one. I think this is important.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@therapyforwomencenter.com. We started getting some responses for you all, and we are excited to record some episodes. You can also call us at 813-444-8683.
And as always, if you could, if you haven't already, rate, review, subscribe, share, anything that you can do to get the word out about the podcast and let people know that you are enjoying it would mean the world to us. It helps us keep this ship going. So yes, please rate, review, subscribe, share. We love you. You're the best.
We'll see you next week. Thank you.